Would you like to know more? Would you like to know more?
Welcome to the War Master Podcast, episode 101.
101, baby!
With Paul and Barry. It's been a little while, three weeks?
Yes.
This one's called Skin in the Game.
Skin in, which I didn't understand as a reference. So I had to ask Barry what the reference
well,
was.
Well, I may have misconstrued the meaning of Skin in the Game. Hopefully it's not got any...
What do you understand it to mean?
It means that you're invested in something. So, like,
so why don't you just say invested in the game?
Because that's a bit fucking boring English, isn't it?
Rather than a term that I can't understand.
Skin in the game. There's lots of things you don't understand, Paul.
Fair enough.
Skin in the game. So yep. We got some skin in the game.
Yep. Okay, I do.
And we're getting some... So I put some more skin in the game this week, so that's good.
Oh, fantastic.
By playing a game.
Yeah, and I've been playing a game as well.
We're going to talk about a bit about Warmaster, as always, and a bit about other stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I've said this before, it's quite difficult to always find something new to talk about in Warmaster, because it is...
I've got something new.
Yeah, what about... Have you?
I've done something I've not ever done.
Well...
As in...
Are you sure you want to talk about this on camera? Right, so, what have you been doing in the wide 3 weeks of Wargaming Worlds?
Obviously, I played a game of Warmaster, which I'm about to talk about. That was the last...
That's later.
I've been doing quite a bit of painting.
As always?
Yeah, like...
Blue?
In terms of the ogres, I've finished off the bulls. I've done the giant. Have a look.
Yeah, a little giant.
Have a look at the little giant. I'm doing the Yetis at the moment. They should be really quick to paint.
Based on the kind of 1-1 look, the giant.
Yeah. The Yetis should be super quick to paint because they're not even wearing clothes, are they? So you do
bluey grey, dry brush,
well,
job done.
Probably. Yeah.
Wash.
Like
nice
no,
blue wash.
Yeah. Like yeah. I'm just trying out this one, and I'll try one or two different colours as well. Yep. So that's cool. A blue wash might well work with them, actually. It's a good idea. And as a crack on with that, and obviously some of it will be towards yourself, for the commission, so it's all good. And also on my painting table at the moment is this baby. Check out.
He's a big lump, isn't he?
He's a big lump. Adeptus Titanicus, a warlord.
Okay, so it's a 6mm warlord. Do they supply...
I think it's 8mm.
8mm warlord. Do they supply the little magnets?
No. So, but what's really interesting is that they left space, like, on the sprues for magnets to go in, but GW doesn't sell magnets. So I bought some magnets for £2 off eBay.
Yeah.
And there you go. That's the effect.
I'll tell you one thing I did do once, which was really irritating, is I glued them in the wrong polarity. So that...
Yes, I did that.
And it was really hard to dig it back out, because you obviously sink them into the plastic.
Yeah. I think the better way to do it is you paint a colour on the magnet.
That's clever.
Yes, clever.
Yeah. That's clever. That's
what I'll do next time.
You only make that mistake once.
But this is the first model I've ever magnetised.
Looks good.
And because they only have one weapon set, and there'll be more weapons coming out, obviously.
You reckon?
Yeah. Because the game has tons of weapons in it.
Oh, there's just not that many in the box.
Yeah. Well, no, there's only two of these and two of these, on it. That's the point of the game, is you're buying chassis that you equip up. Yeah, like
okay.
this is three weapon points. 1, 2, 3.
Okay.
Yeah, on a frame. Yeah. I've been following a Warhammer painting guide for that, so I did all the underskins first. And what I think really stands out to me is, like, oh my god, look what GW could do, is on the back there you have an access point with a balcony. You see that?
Yeah, a little door there.
And there's some defence weapons around the Titan on the undercarriage, like las cannons and heavy bolters. And it's like, my god, they could really do Epic quite well, couldn't they, now? They could make some fantastic models for Epic. Because if they can do that detail, like on the back of that warlord, to that size, how good could they do
these weapons aren't used in the game.
Not against Titans.
Other things you can actually roll them.
Yeah. Like they're defense weapons against the smallest things, which is knights. And look out! And look, that's like a Diddy version of the that's an Imperial Knight.
Mm-hmm. It's nice.
So Barrage is having a look at that. But
it works so well on radio.
Yeah, they're just lovely models. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. No, they are very nice. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine they'll reboot Armageddon. But,
no, I mean, I've played a game of Armageddon recently. That's something else to talk about. But, yeah, it would be... They could do, like, as in with the quality they could make it, which is nice to see. But, yeah, I was supposed to play Titanicus, but Darren had to work, so we'll pencil in another date to play it. But I've been enjoying painting that. It's lovely. Probably do some more of my night shifts.
Okay, what's next in Ballland?
So, other things to talk about. Friends of mine came down, like, from school, like Ben, who was my best man, and we played a drunken game of Talisman last Saturday night.
Wow.
Talisman 3rd edition,
okay.
Which is going to be our thing, a regular thing now, because Ben had put some effort into finishing off the models.
All expansions.
Yeah, always.
Never-ending game, nobody
with
wins.
With some house rules. It took us about 4 hours.
Oh, that's not that bad.
To get a result. And Adam won it, because he came...
Did he come late as well?
No, it was his house. It
oh, right, so he couldn't come late.
Well, he was late to let us in, yeah. But obviously he doesn't drink, so while we got more and more drunk, he was, like, tidying up, like, doing what he needed to do, and, like, distracting us with other things.
More drink.
So yeah, and then so Adam won it, and he gets the first name on the trophy Ben had made, and then we watched Top Gun, and I fell asleep.
For the best.
For the best. And then I played Shadespire against Ben, and over the course of the time he was here, it was 9-1 to me in games.
Jesus.
Yeah, that's just rounds. That's not like best like matchups. That was
just nine games.
But yeah, I won 9.
You're just playing the rats still?
No, I played rats, Storm Bros, and Reavers. Okay. Yeah, of course, obviously, GW. Well, we have to say right now, like, GW are killing it for you know, success, because they're about to do Shadespire 2, which is compatible with Shadespire 1.
Yeah, and they're shitting money.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's good. It's good for GW.
I mean, I attempted the Titanicus. The set I got, the Grand Master Edition, was sold out the day it came. As in, it was hours of it being released. So GW had to take product
allocation back,
so they could sell it.
Yeah. So I know people that ordered it.
Yeah.
The day it came out, and couldn't have it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they ordering it from an independent game store, which isn't going to get the stock.
I mean, yeah. It's been a while coming, but they changed the CEO, and now the sun is shining for GW. But it's not without its problems.
No.
I mean, I love GW. I love the things they do generally.
Yeah.
They do fuck up rule sets quite consistently, and they blow up the
bless
old world. That won't be forgiven.
Yeah, bless them. Yeah.
That won't be forgiven. But every pound that goes to GW isn't going to all these other games companies.
Yeah.
And people have finite resources.
Yes.
It's like what the skin in the game thing is about, like... sometimes you have to sell stuff off to buy new stuff.
Yeah, you do.
And sometimes you have to stop playing a game to do another game.
Yeah, no, totally.
And there's only a finite amount of time and money.
Yeah, exactly.
So
exactly.
If GW are hoovering up like 80% of the game market...
Yeah, which they probably are, aren't they?
Fuck, I would have thought so. Yeah. People like Mantic must be shitting their pants.
Well, exactly.
Not for sure.
Yeah, I mean, because the thing is with GW doing so well... they make it hard for all the other smaller companies to get some money out of it.
To do anything.
To do anything, isn't it?
Apart from board games.
Because, like, GW, like, they've turned their magazine, White Dwarf, they're doing it better, and they're doing it monthly, but things are coming out that weren't featured in the last White Dwarf.
Yeah, see, this is the only bit I don't like.
And then they're out before the next White Dwarf is out to preview them.
I mean, one of the things I'm going to talk about is Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
And this was released.
Yeah.
2 days after I found out it existed.
Yeah, exactly.
I placed an order, and 2 days later, it was here.
Yeah.
I was like, hang on, where did this come from?
I know. It's good, isn't it?
Well, it's like North Korea. Yeah. It's like, getting to the stage, it's already in the shops, and they haven't even announced it.
I think, basically, like, the Space Wolves, or like Codex, is pretty much dead, I think. You know, it's like... because they put out that Tooth and Claw set, which had Space Wolves and Gene Stealer Cult in it, and suddenly, boom, there's a Space Wolf Codex. And it's like, what?
So, well, we'll talk a little bit about that in a second. Right, so, anything else? You can't do your game, because that's for later.
I played a game of Epic Armageddon.
Oh,
so
right.
I was at work last Wednesday, not the one just gone. And so I was working Wednesday. So instead, I'm in a little Epic group for London players, basically. I think I'm the one that Philip's furthest away. And I went and played another guy, you know, chatted through that. at Epic Armageddon at a place in near Mornington Crescent's tube station.
Okay.
Like this sports bar. It had cricket on the TV. It was like, where I walked into this bar I've never been to in London. I was like, what is this place? Yeah. And then back room, there was a bunch of historical war gamers, and that's where I played Epic Armageddon.
Funny.
But they were all playing a French rule set called The Art of War. The Art of the War.
Well, I'm not.
Neither have I. Yeah, like, you know, typical historical players in terms of, like, they all seem to be playing a different rule set. But yeah. I was like, it was like interesting. Okay, cool. And then I played a really cool game of Epic Armageddon, which was nice.
That means you lost.
Oh, yeah, I haven't won yet.
I can always tell by the tone of Paul's explanation how
can you? Well, no, I didn't win. This time, it was against my favourite thing to play against, which was orcs. And a Gargan, not a great Gargan, a Gargan just sat where it needed to sat, soaked up all my fire. I don't think Marines, like, I was, and then I went back and I was like, what do I do about
these? You're not being Thunderhawks or
something? Well, yeah, but they're like, it's macro weapons you need to, like, deal with these things. And it's like, Marines just don't have many of them. Like, they're randomly mounted on some land speeders, and that's about it.
Thunderhawks don't have it.
No. So,
you
can, like, assault it with term, but basically, the resources you need to throw into it are too much for Marines to deal with, because Marines are small armies.
They have to play around it, then.
Well, yeah, that literally was the... And it just seems wrong that I'm, like, these super human, you know, elite champions of humanity, and I'm running away.
You're not running away. You're just winning the war a different way.
Yeah, so anyway, it was good fun. And I'm down to play an event in Darksphere in October, which is a venue I've been to before for War Machine. I remember that, yeah. So, yeah, it's cool.
In Waterloo.
I'm going to get smashed because I am yet to win. Yeah, and I played against another guy who had, he'd equally never won, but he beat me.
What?
At Epic Armageddon. So I'm going to come in last again.
Brilliant. Mm-hmm. I used to play in the Edinburgh Castle Blood Bowl League, which was uptown. That was the first, when I first got into Blood Bowl, I used to travel into London because I used to live in East London.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was in a pub, and that was fucking weird. So we were literally playing in a fucking pub on Tuesday night with people getting pissed, and eating food. Yeah. It was really weird. Yeah.
This one had a separate room, so it wasn't. It was away from all the other normal punters, which was nicer at least. But it was perfectly fine. It was lit enough. They had scenery. Well, what could you want?
That's it. Right, good. So what have I been doing in the old wargaming world? Oh, I went on holiday to Scotland. That was interesting.
Scotland, the Scottish borders.
Although it's full of English people.
Yeah, because we got rid of all the Scots, didn't we?
No, Scotland used to come all the way down to Carlisle.
Yeah, used to.
I think the Scots built Carlisle Castle.
All right. Look, to keep themselves out.
Not to keep us out.
All right, okay.
I think, or something like that, or they expanded it. Anyway, so lots of time spent in the borders.
Was it good?
It was good, but it was like, there was a disappointing amount of Scottish people.
What, as in lack of them?
Yeah, that's like, I think it's where English people go, because it's almost England.
It's almost England.
But it's not, it's Scotland. But yeah, there's a lot of history there, and there's a lot of...
Yeah. So what was your favourite castle?
Oh, shit.
What was a good one?
We've seen like seven in a day
some
days.
Then say a good one.
There was one you had to go across on a ferry. That was quite cool.
Okay.
So the kids had to go across. Yeah. You had to ring the ferry bell. The ferry came out to get you. That was pretty good. Three or something.
Did you get dressed up at all?
You saw a picture, didn't you?
That's why they're no.
Yeah, we got dressed up to embarrass the kids. The kids wouldn't get dressed up, so we got dressed up.
Cool. Yeah.
No, but yeah, if you like history, it's a good place to go.
Cool.
But the abbeys always make me sad.
Because there's no religion.
No, because they were all destroyed, all of them, in the Reformation.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
So you never see it. You see, like, castles in various stages of repair and disrepair.
Yeah.
Abbeys are always fucked, all of them.
Oh, yeah, because times changed, didn't they?
But the scale of them, they must have been even more impressive than castles, because they were generally bigger, and they were more inclusive, and people worked there and lived there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not like a castle where it's like the lord and lady live here and everybody fucking else lives outside.
Yeah,
they were amazing, but always ruined, always. So I'm going to try and find a medieval one somewhere in Europe. I'll go and find one somewhere. There must be one still standing.
Surely there's one in France or Italy.
Yeah. Belgium or somewhere. Yeah. I'll go and find one. And
Because
I would like to see one.
We'll tie that in with playing an event in Belgium.
Yeah, maybe. I'll have to do my research.
Christoph, get on with it.
Lord of the Rings. Like, so that came from literally nowhere. It's like, holy shit. I play Lord of the Rings. I've played it for years.
Yeah.
You know this is 7th edition?
Yes, it is, yeah.
Seventh.
I watched a how to play it video from Ash and Guerrilla Games.
Right, oh, that's where maybe I heard the 7th edition. I thought it was 6, but he reckons 7.
Well, it's... Yeah, it's like, where do you draw a line?
It's a lot of editions.
Yeah. It's like, but let's say it's 7. Yeah.
Not much has changed since day one. Little bits.
No.
Little bits. And then...
But they've put in a few... Well, the big thing that's changed is how you build your list. Warbands.
Well, that came in a couple of editions.
Oh, did
ago.
It? Oh, never mind.
Because it used to be, like, back in the day, yeah. You had good and evil, yeah. And that was it.
That was it, yeah.
Play what you want on the good side, play what you want on the evil side, and that's it. But then they brought in, like, theme lists, effectively.
Yeah. Yeah.
Obviously, it's a marketing tool. You don't want people being able to play anything with anything. You have to have, like...
Restrict them a bit.
And then now they have little war bands, so your leaders...
Yeah.
Can have between like 6 and 12,
depending on their level. Is
yeah,
it
something like that. And that's how many warriors they can bring with them.
Because
usually you didn't have any leaders; you could have no leaders.
Yeah,
if you wanted.
Yeah.
But now you have to have leaders.
And that's good.
Which is a bit weird because I didn't see that many leaders in the box.
No, there aren't. There's Theodred in King Army, the King of the Dead.
He's not in there.
No. Okay.
The one of the Nazguls, I guess, is there on the Fell Beast.
Yeah.
I think that's.
Do you not get generic captains?
What that mean? You do, but I didn't see any of them in the box.
Well, yeah, but you just say that one's a captain.
Yeah, that's what you're going to have to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they obviously sell metal miniatures or resin or fine
cast
miniatures.
Well, no, but they're going to clean out the metal, aren't they? Like, they still sell resin models, but they're going to clean away the metal models for the rings.
Well, maybe they don't do metal anymore because it's now under Forgeworld.
Yeah.
So maybe it'll only be fine cast or resin cast or whatever the shit.
No, I think it's plastic, but they'll just go back over and redo key characters.
Maybe.
Yeah, like I've seen one... A new sculpt of Gandalf with...
Fuck, there's so many Gandalfs in the world. It's like, every box had a bastard Gandalf in it.
Well, it's everywhere. The grey,
the white, the blue, the black. You only need a Gandalf. Right, anyway, so that it's good news because it's a very good entry game.
Mm.
I mean, it spawned quite a lot of other games. There was a Wild West game, there was a pirate game.
Yeah.
Loads of games came out of this.
Yeah, because it got away with saving throws. It just made a wound roll... much harder to get. Most of the time you're wounding on 5s or 6s,
aren't
you? But there's no saving throw. Might was important because it can adjust your dice rolls, so it can make that you can pull off a couple of kills quite easily. And it's not formations, but it's nice how the models all ebb and flow around each other. You know,
the priority changes.
Priority changes and the way, like, you group your models, like your carry models together, the way they move around and like fight stuff is quite cool. Yeah, I mean, it's always a good game.
And it is a bit dominated by big stuff and heroes.
Naturally, but it's...
But that's Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. Like, you can't have Aragorn going down to a...
Goblin.
Arrow. like
so, you can do things like heroic actions.
Yeah.
And I think now they've actually got, like, specific feats.
Yes.
Mini feats.
So, well, they've done what GW have been doing so well recently of giving you modes of play, matched, narrative and open, and standardising rules. So it's like, this character has access to these three common abilities and one unique one.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, there's tons of factions, like even more than Warmaster, you know, and I'd do a Gondor list.
For Gondor! I've got quite a few lists, obviously. that brought me onto the... So I ordered the stuff, and I say, shit. And my house is getting near finished now. I can't even believe I'm saying it, but it might be done by Christmas.
Over by Christmas.
I ordered the carpets for the downstairs, so that's the last stage.
Mm-hmm.
Then my mind started thinking about bringing the stuff back in the house because there's a lot of stuff not in the house.
Yep.
Like a fucking lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, I should just sell this rather than bring it in. Mm,
well,
really.
Yeah. I mean, it's deciding what you...
So what's the threshold? 12 months? You haven't played something in 12 months?
It's a pretty good one.
That would be a lot of stuff, though.
It's a pretty good one to have.
It'd be a lot of stuff.
No, I'm just thinking like, around my... No, I have played War Machine in the past year. I don't think there's any...
Marvel must be pushing it
better. Marvel, yeah, because
we could earn a fortune selling that.
Because we moved on to Batman the Miniatures game and playing that instead.
Yeah, but what about box games, board games and stuff?
Yeah, well, they're always difficult to sell.
Right, okay.
But having said that, in Abari, in Harlow on the 15th, is a thing called Geek and Buy. So it's a bring and buy sale for geek stuff.
And how does that work?
Well, literally as it sounds. Like, you bring stuff to put down to sell, and if it doesn't sell, you take it back. If it does...
You just give them 10% or something?
Yeah.
Really?
So, oh, yeah. So, like, just... And
where's that being run?
Harlow.
What, in just...
Oh, no, I mean, I've got the address.
Oh, fantastic. I love that. I'm quids into that.
Yeah, yeah, because I was going to go along with Rodders. We were going to play in the Shadespire event and put some stuff up for sale, you know, like, and see what else was to buy as well.
Oh, okay,
yeah. But, I mean, you know, it's not just models. It's like, any like I might even try and sell those Walking Dead books, for example.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. So, I'm not sure it could be as crazy as you and say 12 months, because, like, if I don't, I might only play like a dozen times in 12 months anyway.
You're not playing as much as me, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
okay, yeah. So you have to temper that a bit with you.
So I've started putting some stuff on sale. The first one's Shadespire.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
because it's double down.
But I say, like, if you're gonna drop out of it, now's the time. But you might have trouble selling that.
Maybe you sell it cheap, half retail.
Well, yeah.
If you can't sell it for half retail,
you can't sell it.
Can't sell it. I mean, but like, somebody's got to buy it for half retail, virtually unused.
I suppose. I mean,
if they're gonna play the game, they're gonna need all the stuff. That's the biggest problem.
Yeah, yeah.
The problem with the method they're using.
Yeah.
Always doubling down.
Yeah.
Is that the entry point gets fucking humongous and it's just impossibly big.
Yeah, it does, yeah. I mean, but there come a point, because Shadespire 2 is compatible with Shadespire 1, there will be a point where you might not need the new cards in the latest release.
Right.
You might be content with the decks you have. Like I picked up the Leaders pack cards.
Yeah.
I haven't used any of them yet. I'm quite happy with the decks I have at the moment.
Yeah, that was the... Yeah, I didn't buy the Leaders and I didn't buy the... The extra board.
I mean, there's a very cool Skaven one in there.
A leader card.
Well, it's as you. What can you imagine a Skaven leader card is?
Last one living at the back, hiding.
All of that is good, but like, it's literally one. Crick is now in charge. So when your leader dies, Crick is now the leader. Like,
Crick's the second.
Crick's
leader.
The second leader.
Yeah.
And can score leader keywords.
That's pretty handy.
Yeah.
Because generally you've lost if your leader goes
anyway.
Yeah,
exactly. Or like if that enemy says kill the enemy leader, no, you haven't. Oh, he's the leader now.
Sneaky bastard rats. Right. Yeah. Okay. Good. Good. So yeah, a bit of scaling down. We'll see how that goes. I'll keep you informed of how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what else. I might sell the whole Battle Lore Second Edition unopened.
I mean, I'd like to play that with you, but
I ain't gonna open it. It's worth more sealed than open.
Yeah.
That's probably worth a couple of hundred or 250.
Yeah.
For everything that was released.
But I mean, it's something like this bring and buy. You know, for it's probably the best format to try and bring along to get rid of. Just
maybe,
shove it off.
Yeah. All right, cool. Right, so Week in Warmaster. I didn't see much going on apart from Jan still running his Kickstarter on Indiegogo.
Yeah, and he's included the things we said were missing, like Rat Swarms.
Yeah, I saw those.
Yeah. And he's fleshing out the Evil Men range with some, you know, like he put in a unit of Mounted Marauders.
Oh, that fantastic.
So, like, that was what I'm going to do.
Yeah. You need to make Chaos Chariots. Chaos Chariots! Just, Jesus, they're so difficult to get hold of, Chaos Chariots.
Yeah.
It was funny. Chaos Chariots. Chaos Chariots. Anything else going on in Warmaster in the 3 weeks? I don't think so.
I mean, there is stuff about... Oh, I'll talk about the events. For BonesCon, Mr. BonesCon...
It's John, isn't it?
Yeah, John wants to give me... wants me to wait a bit more time for him to decide if there's a Warmaster event happening or if BonesCon happening, let's be honest. If it happens, it's in February. If it doesn't, I'll do my own event in January. And
what about the World Intergalactic Championship?
Yes, I've had comms again with London GT. They're a similar thing. They're fine. They're sourcing where they're going to run. But if they are running again, we're in. You know, like
the problem for those always going to be a venue.
Exactly,
always.
And that's what they're trying to find. That's what they're trying to sort out. So again, similar situation. If it runs, we're part of it, and that will be roughly the same date it was last year, I imagine. If it doesn't run, then I'll look to do something equivalent, you know, for us, you know, like somewhere else.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we are definitely. If it goes, we're in it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Good.
Because
right.
I replied back to him saying, we'll be the easiest customers because all we want is tables. We'll provide everything else.
Just 8 tables, man.
8 tables, that's all we need. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, don't worry about trying to provide us with scenery. We don't need you to.
We didn't anyway.
We didn't, don't promise it this time. Like, you don't need to do it. Yeah, right. We are self-sufficient.
Attention! If you need to get your miniatures safely from point A to point B, then get yourself a KR multi-case. K RKR multi-cases come in all manner of different shapes and sizes and have gamer-friendly pricing. So do yourself a favour and get yourself a KR multi-case today. Soft foam, hard cases.
So we're skinning the game.
Skinning the game.
Isn't that, have you know that song, The Man?
No.
No, by the Killers.
You like, oh, yeah, yeah.
So you like
I'm
Killers.
The Man.
You know, yeah. So that's one of the phrases you use.
Is it?
Yeah. Okay. Skinning the game.
All right, fair enough.
There you go. Just another skinning the game reference.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I like that Killer song. I don't normally like the Killers, but
okay.
I like that song.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. But, yeah. Right, so you played a game,
mm-hmm.
and I played a game.
Yep.
I played a game against Nick.
Yep.
So I might as well do that one, because yeah, that was first.
Yeah.
Right, so one of the things that this game taught me, I already knew, obviously, but it reinforced to me, is how, not negative, but how static a game can be if you have two defensive armies.
Right, okay, so what was the matchup?
So, Nick, Mr. Tomb King.
Tomb Kings? Yeah.
I mean, he's a champion.
Yeah.
He's no slouch with Tomb Kings.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
He knows how to play the game.
He can push the dead around.
He can push the dead around.
Yeah.
And always in your mind, you've got, if the raised dead units gets three plus,
ticks,
I've probably
ticks,
lost.
Ticks. Yeah,
probably
on.
Lost.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and I'm played Empire.
Yeah, okay.
And the quality of my troop on the floor.
Yeah.
It's not that much better than skeletons. It's all right.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, if they charge me, they're the same as me.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's not ideal.
All right.
Considering he's getting his stuff for free potentially,
yeah.
And the way I build my empire list is quite minimal infantry.
Yeah.
And minimum leadership. And again, this was that I need to rebuild the list. As funny and as kind of
so
wacky
what was,
as
what
the
was,
list.
What was your list?
Plus, it's minimum halberdiers.
Yeah.
Minimum crossbowmen,
yep.
Who I find really irritating. Because I just can't find a decent way to use them.
Yep, go on.
Because with four halberdiers, how do you use them?
I know, anyways.
Well, you just have to use them in a big line. Crossbowmen with halberdiers behind.
Go on, yeah, what else?
Two fanatics, or whatever
yep.
they're called.
Yep.
They're all right, they do
yep.
work.
Yeah, they do work, yeah.
They do work.
Yep.
Four knights.
Yep.
Kanikides, because
yep.
you've got to have Kanikides.
Yeah,
two pistoliers.
Yep.
I don't really rate these fellas, but...
Yeah, okay.
Artillery brigade, because why else are you taking Empire?
Yeah.
So two Hellbusters.
Yep.
A steam tank.
Yep.
Now we're in characters now, that's
yeah,
it.
That's it.
So we got a general.
Yep.
We got a fighty hero on a griffin with
yep.
a. Not griffin, what do they have? Griffin?
Griffin
and a sword.
Yep.
Which obviously just fuck all against
yeah,
undead.
Yeah, yeah,
might as well not be there.
Yeah, exactly.
And I can't lose him because
yeah.
he's my only hero.
Yep.
And two wizards. One with a ring and one with the scroll.
Breakpoint?
11.
I mean, it's not a lot of characters, is it? Like,
oh shit! Not when you've got to go on the offensive.
You've got seven wizards
and a hero that you can't afford to lose.
No, you can't. Yeah, you don't. You what? Yeah, exactly.
So, turn one, I go first.
Yeah.
I don't win. I did win scouting, which is amazing because I don't really have a lot of scouting.
Yeah, but he probably has even less.
No, he has flyers. He's got
okay,
three
so,
flyers.
So
he's got
pulled,
nine.
Yeah, pulled that out. Yeah.
Okay, so I go for. I move on to the hill.
Yeah.
Now, what would you do if you're facing off cannon on a hill?
What would you do? What is it? Like, I was against cannons.
Yeah, and you're not. I'm not letting you get flyers or flyers to get to me,
oh,
my cannons on the hill.
Flyers. Well, I guess I'd give you what I want you to shoot at while managing it.
Of course, so you're playing aggressively.
Yeah,
but what's the incentive to do that? Why not just sit outside 60 and wait?
Oh, okay. So Nick was sitting out of 60, watching
and just
you,
waiting,
just waiting for you.
Yeah,
so he got rock lobbers.
Yeah,
he
of course,
got
yeah, two.
Yeah,
but they're not because there's cannons.
No, they're not. But they have a range of 60 as well.
They do have
they
a range.
They can fire indirectly.
They can fire indirectly.
Yeah,
which doesn't really do a great deal.
No, it doesn't. But he can at least fire the things.
He can at least fire the things potentially.
Yeah.
And the way the map kind of set up is like neither of us could be on a hill and within range.
Yeah. Okay.
Unless somebody moved within range.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's quite awkward when you get two setups like that, because unless we make a scenario that forces somebody to risk something...
Which all of the scenarios do.
Which is why you need scenarios.
Yeah.
There's very little incentive to go
to
nuts and go forward, especially if you've fucking got no leadership. Because the chances of me getting, like, multiple orders off on a hero, even with cavalry...
But
if
you
I fail
do,
that second
but you
order.
Do. I mean, did you take a Ring of Magic?
Yeah.
So you do have a movement spell,
one,
which you can
one,
guarantee.
Yeah,
yeah no,
yeah,
you
yeah,
say
yeah.
you can.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
you could, you know, in that sort of situation, it's not unreasonable to like use the general to get two orders off on a cavalry unit
yep.
that gets round into somebody's flank, and then you automatically bring them in with a wizard that's moved over there to ring a magic
in. Yeah, that's fair. Comment, but
I mean, unless he's got a dispel scroll.
No, nope, doesn't have any room for any of that. Because he's running the...
Because that cavalry unit gets 90 centimetres from where it began to where it ends.
Yeah.
You know, and could come, and probably could come in. If you're sitting 60 off each other, you could probably get into somebody's flank.
I mean, back before revolutions, that was definitely the thing to do.
Yeah.
But how much are you going to do with two rounds of combat, and then you're done?
Well, it depends. Where, I mean, obviously.
And you're going against brigades.
It depends what you're fighting, but you've got to find the right target.
Yeah.
And you've got a position you've got to end in, because he has no initiative. So you've got a position you've got to end in, where it's at least two orders for him to attack you. Fade, as in, he could come you into the front one. But say it's skeleton infantry. Well, he's got raised dead, hasn't he? That's going to be a problem. Yeah.
But right, and the other thing is, like, best case scenario, you go in, you dig some stuff up.
Yeah.
You're unlikely to kill it.
Yeah.
Unlikely, unless you put your hero in, but you can't afford to risk him in this build. So then I back up, having done some damage after two turns. Now I am absolutely ping on for his stone throwers, because they're on a hill. Yeah. I'm the nearest thing.
Yeah.
My cavalry's going to get pounded to shit.
So what did you do? What did happen?
Well, what I did in the end was I had to go after him, because you can't go piecemeal.
Yeah, I mean in those two builds. You haven't detailed what Nick's using, but I imagine the Tomb Kings are more defensive.
Yeah, they are more defensive, I think.
Yeah, so think of it like Flames of War. Like you've got, you're the default attacker because of your type of list. That's another thing. I've been playing Flames of War recently.
Yeah. I might sell that off. I've only got three armies.
Yeah,
so if I can find them.
Well, if you find them, give me a shout.
Well, I think one of them's yours.
Yeah, exactly. So give me a shout.
A British army.
Yeah.
I had to go on the offensive, but having the leadership setup I had was really problematic.
Yeah.
Like, really problematic.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost lost my steam tank to the... Because I had to give him something to shoot these feckin' catapults.
Yeah.
So I gave him the steam tank.
Yeah.
And, like, the stone throwers don't get to ignore defended.
Nope.
So they're only hitting on fives.
Yeah, that's right.
But there's no armour.
No.
I've only got four wounds. So if he gets lucky, he's going to take it off. But luckily he didn't get lucky. And then gradually over time, I managed to get into a position to start engaging him.
Yeah.
But it was really hard, man. And I had to make sure that... I think it was about turn five before he got his first raise dead off. Because I was like, dispel scroll at the ready.
Yeah.
Only giving him one combat word possible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I think we had to call it a day because we literally couldn't force a result.
Because
I'm not going to expose my infantry into like fucking hordes of skeletons because they're just going to get swarmed.
Uh-huh.
And then stuff's going to get raised in the back and they're going to die.
And
they were defended.
As nothing else, your game example shows how scenarios are important.
Very important.
Yeah, very important.
Very important.
Because if you'd had meeting engagement, that would have mixed up the deployments.
For sure,
if you'd had my objective one, that would have, you couldn't have just sat, as in you couldn't have just sat there and done nothing while the opponent moves forward and takes objectives. You literally, you're going to lose
unless
you come forward. And if you had gone for like the tower game, again, if you don't come forward, you're just going to control the tower and win.
Yeah.
So, that's good to hear. Yeah, like I purposely didn't play a scenario one with Rodders because I wanted to see if I could what I could do with orcs. Yeah, on an open field.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it is interesting that because 99% of the games I reckon are played without a scenario.
I mean it's only us that are championing it in like on our tournaments. Yeah.
And it's probably fine if you've got unlimited time or you're. Because if you play to a turn, I guess if you played with that, people don't use hard clocks.
No,
you played with a hard clock, that would force a result.
Any timing format we've come up with for Warmaster is really a hard clock.
But playing with a no clock,
or
just a round time, would mean like a really really negative game experience. Because what is the point of me risking my stuff to then die to then give you a game
points? As we said before, and regulators will know, we've come at this game from the experience of other things. You know, we're seeing the problems that could be in there that other people who have never played other things don't see.
Yeah, and that was my only concern with the historical game because, what do they call it, ancients?
Ancients, yeah.
Because without any mechanism make you engage,
no.
The person that goes for it is always at a disadvantage if they
and
fuck up.
And there's very little in ancients, there's very little, people aren't packing artillery.
Yeah. So if you
Romans have some. Yeah, it's not. It's no double cannon brigade.
Well, elephants, I guess. Yeah. Right, so that was one of the games. It was a very entertaining game, yeah, an enjoyable game. Yeah. Nick's a great guy, yeah, obviously we were playing with painted stuff.
Yeah.
We didn't have a very nice table because we were quite late to the game, so we ended up playing on like some fucking sci-fi hub centre field.
Never mind.
So I didn't take a picture of it because it would look shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it was a good game, and it was a shame we had to just call it a draw, but at the end of the day, it was only ever going to be a draw.
Yeah.
Nobody was going to break.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right, so what was your game against the Rodders?
So, this was a late organised game because I was supposed to play Adeptus Titanicus with D, but he had to work. So, played Rodders, got picked. That was fantastic because been a while since I played a Warmoth game and I wanted to play one. So I took a Orc and Goblin list.
Ooh.
And because there's a guy in our club who wants to learn and that's Orc and Goblins is what he has. So I was like, okay, I'll take that. Decides what I'll take Orcs and Goblins. And I'd been theory hamming quite a while over Orcs and Goblins over what is a good list for them. And this might be it.
Right.
Now I
think it's probably what Christoph uses is a good list.
What's his list?
Fucking loads of boys.
No, it's not.
No, but that's what he uses.
Right, okay,
loads of fucking boys.
So, okay, I'll run down my list. Basically, you take... I've taken 6 Orc Warriors.
Just the 6?
6 Goblins.
Gobobaloids? Okay,
1 unit of Black Orcs, 1 unit of Trolls,
yeah.
4 units of Boar Boys, 1 unit of Wolf Riders, 2 units of Wolf Chariots, then my character setup is the General, a Orc hero on a Wyvern with a sword. Oh, 2 Rock Lobbers as well.
2 Rock Lobbers.
Another hero, so... General, 2 heroes, 1 mounted, 2 orc shamans, and that's it. I haven't gone for...
You haven't gone for 4 wizards?
So, and then, okay, so that's my list. It's Breakpoint 12. It's got not a bad scouting value of 8, I think. And I played... Rodders played a Chaos Army, a heavy Chaos Brigade army. So he went for 3 brigades, 6 Chaos Warrior units... 2 knights, 2 chariots in 1 brigade. There was a lot of points in that brigade. You know, like, but he'd only got... So he got on Breakpoint 7, no harpies, only 2 marauders.
No harpies?
No harpies.
So how was he going to get your artillery?
Well, let me tell you about it. You know, like, and he only taken 1 general and 1 wizard, and that was it.
A whole army?
A whole army.
Jesus.
Yeah. So, okay.
How many 6 chaos... What are all the points called? 6 chaos warriors.
6 chaos warriors and 2 knights
points.
And 2 chariots.
Chariots are cheap.
Yeah, but knights aren't.
No. Chariots are cheap, that's why they're so expensive to buy.
Yeah, yeah. So, but this was off this amazing buy he got on the Warmaster training. He got an absolutely huge Chaos army.
Nah, but no, there were no proper chariots where all the chariots were half done.
But he could, if I, he like...
I'm sure the guy bought this one before, took all the chariots out of him and shipped him the rest.
Anyway, that's what I was against. I'm teaching the Don at the same time.
The Teflon Don.
Yeah. So, I looked at it and I was like, right. So I built the list to the setup. I find I do better when I build the, I know I'm going to set, how I'm going to set up the army. And I'm building that list to set up that army.
So your Rock Lobbers are protected by the Goblin Riders.
I know. They're, I use the goblins. Now, this is where you would take the minimum amount of goblins and you'd stick them in a corner somewhere and you wouldn't use it.
That's 4.
Yeah,
is the minimum.
That's what you'd do.
I prefer to do that, yeah.
Right. So what I'm doing is they are my second rank to... I form no brigade bigger than 2 units, aside from the artillery brigade. So all of my... Like, I have units of, like, a new unit of Orc Warriors backed up with goblins, or a unit of Black Orcs backed up by goblins. You know, or Orc Warriors, so, like, spacing it across. So basically, I've got...
A million mini brigades.
You know, my boars are in units of 2,
yeah.
not 4. I have 2 units of boars, 2 units of boars, 2 units of wolf chariots, a single unit of wolf riders, which are accessing the, you know, the nice new light cavalry rules. And
the optional rule that I haven't used yet.
Yeah, but they're right, and this is why you should use it, because it makes gives light cavalry a roll.
Okay.
You know, so they're right out on a flank. And I have a lot of, my setup was across the table of... Two
and what's your leadership package again?
A general...
2 heroes.
2 heroes and 2 shamans. Orc shamans. So
that doesn't seem
3
like a
command
lot,
8, 2 command 7.
That doesn't seem like
no,
a lot.
No, it's not. But that's as good as it's going to get.
There's no tens here, mate.
As for orcs. You know, and I'm using the shamans as commanders. I'm not positioning them for the best spells. I'm like, they're where they need to be to give orders.
Okay.
Okay.
Interesting.
So... army starts moving forward. Now, Rod is a storm, dead centre, with his three brigades close together. His command is so little that he can't spread it out. And I was saying to Dave, it's like, right, what can I... Now, I need to break up his Chaos Army, as in piecemeal it, because he hasn't got the command to control it. Now, if I... So what I'm going to do is I'm going to basically do a tactic from Shaka Zulu. I'm going to Horns of the Buffalo. I've got a strong centre, and I'm going to push round on my flanks and envelop him.
Right.
Because if he then comes out, if he sends units out to deal with the flanks, they're breaking away from his main centre. If nothing else, I can choose where my troops die. You know, like
okay.
So even if they do nothing, even if they do nothing back, they die over here, which is away from his centre.
Right.
Yeah, which is spreading out his army. Yeah, because he only got two commanders. So, for example, his heavy brigade came out. He'd taken Spore.
He's only got a heavy brigade.
Yeah, so sorry. his mounted brigade
had
come out. He'd set two identical brigades up of infantry with spawns as well in there. So three Chaos Warriors, a spawn, and a unit of Marauders.
Marauders seem a bit unnecessary.
Yeah, yeah, well, but you have,
take him in the back with the dogs.
He hasn't got any dogs.
Just take him in the back with the dogs. Yeah.
So out comes his, in column, knights, chariots, chariots, knights. So I get my wolf chariots to be threatening, like coming out to their flank. What does he do? Does he either attack them with something?
Attack!
Which is spitting up his units.
Right.
And I'm on like the max, like 30 away from them, on his from the rest of his army. Or he ignores them. Now, if he ignores them, if the wolf chariots get a bead onto somebody's corner, into somebody's side, they're going to do 15 attacks. You know, like those chariots. They've only got 6 up armour in three hits. But I'm only going to fight one stand. So, in a flanking position, those chariots are just as strong as anything else in the
army. We should fight two stands, surely.
Well, I'd say I hit a cavalry unit on the flank.
It should be two stands.
So that'd be one stand versus...
I mean, it's only 6 attacks back.
Yeah, anyway.
It's not a great amount. But they'll hurt those 6 attacks.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm giving him a hard choice. You either deal with this now, or you ignore it, and potentially I'll get put into you. I want a peace trade. You know, like, if I peace trade even upwards of points, I've got breakpoint 12, you've got 7.
Yeah.
You know, like, this is good for me. You know, like, in this chariot situation, he sent off a unit of knights and chariots to go deal with it, and deal with it they did. But they did, I rolled well. I actually did some damage to the chariots, stands away. So then these units are away from the rest of his stuff, and he just does not, and with only a general and a wizard, he does not have the command to really control them well.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, now, I can push the other flank. It was a bit dicey. It was a very close game, because I was close to breaking. But and one of my tactics of, okay, so I have a unit of trolls, for example, with goblins behind. The trolls take the charge. Hopefully they don't die in one round of combat, because then he'll need more than two rounds of combat to clear up. And then I'm holding him while I'm then bringing in other stuff. And I'm charging him piecemeal with, like, two boars units. They attack and back away.
And
then infantry come forward to take the initiative. So I'm literally pepper potting them forward. Like, goes in, support, comes back. And wherever I fight, I make sure I'm overlapping it with initiative for whatever happens. Like, if he wins and he advances onto me, that's something.
Yeah.
If he wins, I can come in with one order of cavalry. And as my big army starts dying off, that's good for me, because I'll control what's left of it better, because I'll have then more characters. I've got 5 compared to his 2.
Two just sound like something I'd do.
Yeah, yeah.
And then regret.
So, in the trolls, for example, when the trolls got charged, sadly, I rolled badly. It actually got wiped out in one round. He advances, he pursues onto the goblins, because they were supporting, and yeah, he deals with them. I didn't even roll.
Too right. Goblins.
Except they're dead. So that one, but if they had held even one stand, then the goblins would have, like, probably survived 2 rounds. So, it was solid.
Well, he could have pursued into the goblin.
Yes, exactly. But, like, it would have been harder for him to do it, because trolls would have healed a wound. It's like, you have to allocate damage to make sure he gets it, etc., etc. So, I ended up coming out on top. And
what was the break score, then?
So I was down to about 3.
Right.
Or something like that. And I broke him. I got his 7. So I won a competitive game with Orcs and Goblins.
So I'm trying to take 6, and 2, and 2, and 2... What else did he have? Because that's 12.
What?
What else? He had two ball. He had two Chaos Knights.
Two chariots.
Six, two marauders and six
warriors. Two spawn. You know, and that was it. A character and you know, with some magic items, a general and...
that is really heavy.
Really heavy. You know, breakpoint 7. You know, and my, but also, because I was in my build of it, I was like, I haven't included a giant. I could exchange the giant for the rock lobbers. I exchanged the giant for the two units of wolf chariots. But the rock lobbers were the star of my match because they seemed to hit.
They rolled well.
Every time they fired, and they did, and they took stands off. You know,
but how would you have protected them from said harpies?
I took two units of goblins. Their job was to do exactly that. So their role would have been to stand in front of the rock lobbers when the harpies are threatening and just be in the way. Yeah. You know, like just be there, be blinkers if nothing else, so the rock lobbers are firing into at least doing something. But because he hadn't taken any harpies, they didn't actually have to do that. They had a free game, basically. They didn't die. That's what the goblins did. They did not die. So, I don't know if this list I've put down is the best orc list, but it was good. I enjoyed using it, and it seemed strong. Like, I was careful with my orders, and I was like, I'm assuming I'm going to fail there. I need them to go half pace forward. Once the things like the Wolf Riders, once they got into initiative range, I don't need to ever order them again because they'll initiative evade in any direction because they're light cavalry, and they'll just stay behind his army. And when the Rock Lobbers shoot at something, I'll hit them again with the Wolf Riders.
Well, the only thing I would say is you by not taking the two Goblin Wizards,
yes.
I mean, they are fucking cheap.
Yeah.
What are they, like 30 points or something ridiculous?
I think so, yeah.
Something ludicrous.
Yeah, yeah.
Because against these heavy brigades, I presume they're in column.
Yes.
Like, one Geralt will just ruin them.
And I did try, as in, like, that was my opening spells. But when I got into fights, I was casting Wah.
Yeah, but early doors. Like Geralt in the middle of that, and he's got, like, one hero trying to order
brigades. Yeah, totally. That would have been... I did see opportunities where I could really break up some units, shove them. I mean, what's he going to do? I have to say, I did. What really helped me was his general basically being an orc for me and failing a lot of orders.
Okay.
Yeah, which was handy. But I managed to manage his Chaos Army. I mean, like, I've never won with orcs and goblins before competitively.
Nah.
I've never won with them. But I did this time.
I did draw with them once. I did. I should have won, and it was on a scenario, and I gave you a draw on the tower.
Yeah. Well, that's because you thought to orc. Yeah, like
I thought to break you.
Yeah. So I'm challenging you to an orc challenge.
Well, it's on the list. It's on the list of things to do. Maybe next week.
I don't know if this is exactly the list I'm going to run, but this is.
If you stick with that list, I think it would be quite difficult to beat some armies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's I liked it. I liked it a lot. You know, so that might even be what I might take to an event.
I tell you, one of the things I miss most playing Empire is some way of dealing with enemy artillery. Because it's hard work with Empire. What am I going to use? Pistoliers? I don't know.
It's about the best thing, isn't it?
Yeah. But then you've got to get them in position and they've got to get in.
Yeah,
and
get
you've got your Ring of Magic and you've got your wand. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what you've got to use.
So
no flyers.
It was a great game. I played. And we played it easily within 2 hours. It was just I was setting up and using the orcs and goblins in a way that I haven't used any other army. Like, you know, no brigades are over 2 units.
Well, I think this if there was a Tactica in an old war mag. What do they call them? Warmaster magazine?
Yeah, war.
And this was the tactic they used.
Just multiple small brigades.
Yeah, like loads of them.
Yeah.
I think they may have had a lot more command than you did.
Yeah, exactly.
But basically the theory was run everything in twos and just flank everything.
Yeah. I mean, like, there's always options. There's always threats on. Like, you know, I mean, I mean, the orcs' terrible leadership at times was bad, but at least I get 5 half-pace moves, you know, in a turn.
Well, that's another thing. That's another change.
So at least, and with the wizards, because I'm using them to give orders, they were, like, dedicated to a brigade. Like, this one's going to order the trolls forward. I expect them to fail. Because even with no modifiers, as in, like, it's a 7. It's a 6 to pass
this
order.
It's a 6, yeah.
You know, like, so I'm not expecting them to fail. But they'll go forward. And if their role is the is the in the horns of the buffalo is they're the what you're going to attack. You know, like that's what's going to hold you. Like, yes, it's definitely going to be a harder game. Like with my rock lobbers, like I've got some range, but I can't for it to be really good. I mean, I did roll very well every. I have to say, like I think I never got less than four hits with six shots.
Wow.
Yeah, but
that's really fucking painful.
Yeah. It was just knocking stands off Chaos Warriors.
Yeah, that normally doesn't happen.
No, it doesn't. It shouldn't happen. Like, I should get three, and that should be a drive back and cause confusion.
Well, but, three and a half. Yeah. I guess
but,
three, four.
So, yeah, but I don't, because the Gorks and Goblins don't have the second bit of artillery. They don't have missile troops with range 30. They don't have the thing to add in extra wounds. You know, to
spells.
Make
spells. They got line of fire.
Spells. Yeah, like I actually got a foot of Gork off once.
Oh wow, six up. That's pretty good on a ring of magic against artillery.
Well,
I'm gonna
say I want more troops, so I haven't taken any magic items. I mean, only 5 points to fill up a a sword. And it's but it's important.
You must be able to trim a couple of units of goblins.
Yeah, but I like the breakpoint. You know, like and they've all got a job. So it's important that the orcs took a wyvern because that terror. Because when I went into fight, the orcs aren't packing a lot of armour.
No.
That's a way that terror is to cut back some attacks.
Yeah, it is armour.
So it is armour. So it's like, I've got to have that piece to move around, to be ready to and be willing to use it. Like, so, okay, I've got my fights on. Which one do I definitely want to take? No casualties. That's where the wyvern goes in to make that sway. I mean... It's the time of the orc.
We'll see. We'll see.
Hey, man. You seen those 10mm ogres, man? I gotta get me some of those sweet-ass 10mm ogres, man. I could brother up, man. I'm jonesing.
Good to jibber-jabber, fool. And get yourself to blackgateminiatures.com. That's blackgateminiatures.com.
So we're on to our final section now.
Yeah.
Just a little bit of information about Blackgate and a little bit of an outro stuff. So I bought some new stuff.
What stuff did you buy?
I bought a new... So when you do resin casting...
Right, yeah.
You need to make a silicon mould.
Ooh.
Using, like, different types, whatever type of silicon you're going to use. But the big problem is it's got air bubbles in it.
Right.
So then when you pour the silicon round whatever you're moulding, if there's a bubble touching the surface of the whatever you're moulding, when you then recast in the new mould, you'll have a big fucking air bubble on the surface of the miniature or whatever.
I can understand that, yeah.
So what you have to do is get as much air out as possible. So they use a vacuum.
Yeah.
So a vacuum chamber and a vacuum pump. So I bought one of those so I can try and do things that aren't in metal. Because lots of stuff now, you can get 3D printed. And then it's awkward to transfer that into metal.
Right, okay.
Because the 3D printed stuff won't survive the high pressure, high temperature vulcanization to make metal miniatures.
Yep.
So this stuff here, you can use like some high temperature rubber to make moulds, or you can just use low temperature stuff and make resin stuff.
Yeah.
So it's just, I invested a few hundred quid to get a different angle on stuff so I can do different things.
Okay, cool.
Just to diversify. So I'm not sure whether or not I'm going to do another range yet.
Yeah.
I haven't decided.
Yeah, you should. But
we'll see. It's easier said than done.
I know it's easier said than done, but you should.
Life moves on. Mm-hmm. I mean, the art is what the art is.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's not a minor investment. Like, art, people. I mean, I don't know how much I've talked about art, but art scared me. I got no concept of how it's worked until I got into it.
Yeah.
So I come to Paul. I said, Paul, draw me a picture, mate.
Yeah, sure.
So you draw me a picture that I'm going to make miniatures out of.
Here's a picture.
Yeah, very nice.
Yeah.
Can I have it?
No.
You can have a digital scan of it. All right, I only need a digital scan of it, so that's cool. So you send me the digital scan of it. And I paid you for a piece of art. But I only own the license to use the art to make this miniature.
Yes. But is that in a contract that you've sent to me?
It's just an implicit contract with artists. This is how art works.
Right, okay.
You'll be amazed.
Yeah, okay.
So you could say to somebody, draw me a piece of art, and you give them like the specific, you want exactly this piece of art, right?
Yep.
And you pay them for it, and all you earn is the limited rights that they give you. You'll never see the original piece. It never belongs to you. It always belongs to the artist.
Yep. Okay.
Okay, so it just is what it is. And art is expensive, man.
Yeah.
So, like, even people like Jan, who's doing this really nice rat I mean, he may be doing his own bits of art at home, but there's nothing being published, I don't think, art-wise.
No.
And, yeah, so, fuck. If I go down another one, it's going to cost me another $2,000 or $3,000 in art.
But, I suppose you needed a picture of it. I mean, the difference, though, Barry, is that this is a second project. This would be a second army project for you, where you have a good calibre of the first one.
Yeah.
I think you could get away with less art.
But would you want less art? Is it not? Because people were asking me, can I buy the art?
Oh, I see. Oh, right.
Can I get a book of the art? Can you provide prints of the art? Can I have... And there was one guy I own the full art to, and that was the Big Ogre.
Got it right.
And I can do whatever the fuck I want with that. I can do anything. But I still will never see the original piece of art. But I can do whatever I want with it.
I own full... T-shirt.
Yeah, I could put it on T-shirts. Could do whatever I want if people were interested. But and also, potentially, I could go back and renegotiate and buy all the art rights.
That's money, yeah.
But I, even if I bought all the rights to all the art, I would still never own a piece of art.
Yeah, okay. Well, yeah. I think...
Because there's nothing else where you say, if you say, make me a car.
Yeah.
So you make me a car, but you'll never actually give me the car. Just give me a picture of the car.
All right. That is a bit strange. But you could, I mean, what can you do about it? I think you could get away with doing less art for another project.
Okay, but I don't think I'd want to.
Okay.
I think the art was brilliant, man.
Well, it was.
He did a fantastic job.
Yeah.
And it just—I'm not arguing about the cost of the art. The art is what the art is.
Yeah.
And I did it as cheaply as I could. I didn't buy like exclusive rights of all the art for all different purposes because I only needed it to make miniatures.
Yeah.
So it's just like, do I want to go and spend? I mean, it won't be me that spends it. To be fair, it'll be like it'll be Kickstarter.
Yeah, it's what the Kickstarter is for.
That's exactly why. So at the end of the day, I just need to kind of get over it and say, this is the cost of the art. Yeah. It's going to cost like $2,000 to $3,000 for the art. It's going to cost. A bit more than that for the sculpting, and then it is what it is. And if people are interested and want to buy it, then cool. If not, then fine. It doesn't really matter.
Well, as I said to you, like, you know, when I was up in Stirling and I asked at the curry, I was like, a bit of market research for you, they would all go in for it. They would, as in, anyone who's, like, picked up your product so far, is all raving it. They would...
I would like to have a lower price point, I think.
Well, I understand, but, like, these, you know, it's not an unreasonable price point you came out with.
No, but I'd like for it to be a little bit lower.
Okay, that's admirable, but, I mean, you...
Maybe I'll just have to do... What I might try and do is do, like, an army box.
Yeah.
And that would be discounted, I guess, to make it something that people would be willing to spend £100 on an army box and try and put as much of an army as possible in that
£100. And depending on which army you decide to do,
but it'll be ogres, I guess.
Oh, what?
An army box for the ogres.
Oh, okay.
To start with, to get the price.
Depending on a future project, whatever new race you decide to do, we can look at it a lot and be like, what is a typical list for that? What are people going to want? What do you like? There are some units that you're only going to ever only realistically run.
I mean, they're the big problem children, ones that if we talk about Jan, like your screaming bells and stuff, massive amount of investment in making the GW model is fucking huge. God knows how they ever made money on that.
It's up there, it's third shelf.
It's like it must be in about like 9 parts or something.
It was, yeah, it's up the top.
Yeah, lovely. Plus all the crew
stuff,
and you're only ever going to sell like one. Because per army, because you can only have one.
Because you can only have one,
So we will see. The kids are back at school today. Hooray! Yep. Goddamn, get back to school! So I can start thinking about stuff now and having some kind of time to plan and stuff. So maybe I'll give it a go. Maybe it also means I have to change, not website, but I have to change the amount of money I pay the website. Everything comes in. So like more than triple.
Can you say like how are your sales doing since you've all come
They're
out?
They're all right, but I never really expected them to be that big
but
anyway.
You don't want too many, do you?
Well, do you? No, not really.
You don't have so many.
I'm not going to try and do this as a full-time job.
Yeah. So you don't want too many that you got some poor schmuck waiting ages to get his order because you are a one-man show.
Yeah, exactly. Or like the kids are on holiday and. So next year I'll try and prep it a bit better so I've actually got some stock. I haven't sold
it. I'm willing to help you, Barry.
Yeah, of course you are. It's my cross.
Oh, right.
You're married in Northern, you know the rules.
Yeah.
So we will see. But at the end of the day, it's a big leap for the next one. You know, like one kid, two kid. You haven't done this yet.
Right.
The difference between going from one kid to two kid is fucking enormous.
Well, there's public knowledge that, I mean, Hannah's pregnant with two. I don't know how this is, though.
It's not two. She's not pregnant with two.
No, I've got
number two.
My second kid's due in March.
Yeah. It's a big jump. You wouldn't think it is, but it is.
Okay, it's fine.
Right, so, and a similar thing here, jump from one range to two range means I have to do a lot of stuff behind the scenes. It costs a lot more money, so I'll have a lot more financial drag.
Yeah.
So, my web cost will more than triple.
Yeah, because you need more pages. Yeah.
And they know what they're doing. They can say you can have 15 items in your shop.
Yeah.
For this band, and then once you go past 15, you've got to go in the super trader band, and then that triples in price, and then suddenly you're suddenly having to pay like £50-60 a month just to exist.
Yeah.
And you're like, is it really worth spending all that extra money just to?
Yeah. Well, okay, but
I don't know. We will see. We will see. I'll do the math. I'm good at math, and I will see if it works out. Mm-hmm. I'll put my feelers out to see if people are interested in.
Definitely, because it's like the quality. I mean, I've been painting them. Like, they are lovely stuff. It's like, I'm not just saying that because I'm your mate. But
I'm not some gifted genius. It is just a process, like any other.
But it's choosing the right range, isn't it?
It's choosing the right art and the right sculptors and stuff. That's the hard bit. The actual physical production's just like any other process, like making a cup of tea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To a degree.
Okay.
Right. Okay. So. Right, so what are we going to do next week? You want to play a game?
Yeah, I want an orc challenger against you.
Okay, orc challenger. Well, so how much of my A game do you want?
I want an orc challenge against you, and I want a proper, and we like it. I want to, like, if I win, this is what I get. You know, like, is an orc challenge.
Like, that's already been discussed.
No, exactly. So
people know what that is.
Take whatever you want to take, because there is an implication to lose. There is a consequence to losing.
Okay, well, if your orcs can beat my fucking lizard men, then good luck to you.
Easy. Orcs don't care.
Hey, boss, they're bigger and stronger than us.
And we'll play it, because it's got to be an orc challenge, it'll be just a regular game, no scenario, it'll just be like, me versus you.
Boom.
Yeah, boom. I'm only take a win because I got the tower or something, and be like, I'm just beating you in a straight-up fight.
Okay, lovely. Or maybe the orcs, they'd like a good fight.
Are they your A game?
There's not really that much on this. The ogres would like a good kicking in there, man.
Yeah.
Those balls are a lot better than the balls. Okay, right, good. So, this was episode 101.
101.
Back in the game.
Yeah.
Skin in the game. You can get contacts at Warmaster Facebook page or warmaster.podcast@googlemail.com.
Yep.
If you want to email us. And we'll get back to you next week.
Thank you very much.
Would you like to know more?